Well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It is good to be with you today. Get this opportunity to share with you. We love coming to Bradenton. A lot of times we just keep going a little bit further west to go to the beach, but that's can't do that today. I understand, but that's we're thankful to have an opportunity. Anytime God gives us the privilege of going and sharing with the church and sharing and preaching. A little bit about Elaine and I. We have been married this year 50 years. This will be our 50th anniversary coming up, and we've been around a while. And one of the things that over the years that we've been able to do is kind of grow together, but also kind of go through what God gave us in life. And I spent about 25 years of my life in the business world with my father and grandfather, and then God called us to full-time ministry as we were a little bit later in life, and so we went through that process and ended up pastoring in Tampa. Been a senior pastor in two different churches and retired from that. Actually, our chairman of finance committee said, "Pastor, you're not going to retire." I said, "I'm not." He goes, "No, you're going to repurpose." And so he was right with that. I've just kind of repurposed. What we do now is come and share with churches like yourself. I've done intentional interims. We were in Tallahassee for a number of months working with the church up there. I do conferences. We were just up in Stark this week, and I did a pastor's conference. So this is kind of what we do, and we really enjoy it. We're enjoying the privilege that God is giving us to continue to do some things that we like to do, and we all like to do some things that we like to do. Amen? All right, there we go. So we're all fair on that one, and also get opportunities to do what God calls us to do. We're blessed. We've got two children. Lacey is a surgical nurse at a hospital in Brandon, and we have two grandkids with her and her husband, Bobby. We have Anthony, who's our oldest, and then Isabella, our middle grandchild, and Anthony is a senior in high school. This will be a memorable year for him because it's not like you would normally have. I remember my senior year, and I never went to class, and yeah, there's a storyline behind that. We had one of those things, rank has its privileges, but that's a whole other issue. But we have our son, Eric. Eric's with Tampa Fire Rescue, works with the Marine unit off of Davis Island, and they have our youngest, he and Amanda have our youngest granddaughter, Emerson, and we'll have Miss Emerson tomorrow afternoon. She spends Monday with Nanny and Papa, so we're looking forward to that. But we're thankful to be here. We're thankful that you're going through a new season in your church. You're going through a time that maybe you've never been through before, and I really felt like as God was leading me a message to share with you today, he led me to this message, and it's entitled A New Season. And what it does is it goes to the book of Ecclesiastes. Very popular text, but I'd ask you right now, if you would, just to honor the reading of God's Word by standing with me. I'm going to be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And gracious Father, right now as we spend these moments together today, Father, as we delve into your word, Father, as we're encouraged by it, and Father, by the writers, that Lord God, we hear you and we hear the clarity of your spirit. Your spirit as you speak to us this day in this place. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Time. It's an interesting word. It's one of those things where you've probably heard it said. If you haven't, I'll share it with you today. Every one of us have 24 hours in a day. Nobody has more. Nobody has less. We all have the same number. Now, there have been times in my life, especially when I was in the business world, that I was willing to buy somebody's excess time if they weren't going to use it. Because there was always something I could find to do, something that I needed to do. Now, I'll be honest with you, I also found that out as I got into ministry and became a pastor. It was the same thing. Sometimes there was just not enough hours in the day, and I was willing to kind of buy that time from somebody. But we're all given the same amount of time. Now, the Hebrew word that is used here that designates time is a word called zeman. And it actually means it is an appointed time. So when we look at God's word and we understand what the writer is expressing, he's being led by God through the power of the Holy Spirit to write these things to us. And he says, we're talking about appointed time. There are appointed times. Now, we recognize that it could be an annual ritual. Today is what? Super Bowl Sunday. I was yesterday, Elaine and I, like I said, we were up in Stark. We have a motorhome that we bought this last year, and we were putting the motorhome back, and the folks at Myrtle Lake are very gracious. They have an area back in the back with a big cover on it, and they said, Pastor, you can park it back there. I said, fine, I do that. It's great. So we were taking it back down there. I was driving down Highway 54. Lane's sitting over there next to me, and we're riding along. And I didn't say this to her, but I started thinking of all the years that I pastored, and we had Super Bowl. And we had Super Bowl parties. And we'd have Super Bowl this and Super Bowl that. And, you know, we'd have a try to get folks to come to church and wear your team jerseys and stuff. You know, just... It's an annual ritual. Now, for Tom Brady, it's becoming somewhat of an everyday event, but that's another story, okay? But if you think about that, it's what the idea of an appointed time is. It's something that there's an appointment. Elaine and I have gotten to the point where now we share a calendar. That wasn't always the case. She had a calendar, and then my calendar was primarily controlled by my executive assistant. She took care of everything. I would just tell people, if you need me to be somewhere, make sure Margie knows. And she'd make it. I had my own calendar. We have an Apple phone, so mine had a blue dot. Hers would have, Elaine's had a green. Well, now that I've repurposed, we share a calendar. We learned something, though, about having a shared calendar. Sometimes when you put a doctor's appointment there, you don't know whose it is. You do things that you maybe didn't need to do. So one of these times recently, I was looking at the calendar, and it said it was a doctor's appointment. I thought it was my appointment, so I fasted. It was her appointment. I didn't need to fast. Maybe, and she didn't need to fast either, but it was just one. So now we write out there, our names are next to it, so that we know it's her doctor's appointment or our mine. Although we didn't do that the other day. We were trying to figure out who Dr. Alonzo was. I said, I don't have a Dr. Alonzo. And she says, I don't have a Dr. Alonzo. And it's actually an associate with our doctor that she had some eye surgery on last year. See, the text is making it very clear to us that for everything, there is a time. There's a time for every activity under heaven. This last week, as I said, I was up in Stark and sharing with pastors. And I told pastors, I said, Pastor, you need to, on occasion, get away. You need time. You need time with your family. You need time with the Lord. Jesus did it. I mean, he just get up, walk away, and leave the disciples, and he'd go do something, go pray, go spend time away from them. We all need, whether it's rest or whether it's a vacation. Our son, like I said, is with Tampa Fire Rescue, and I can guarantee you, when he gets ready to retire, all of the time that he didn't use, they're going to pay him for it. That's a good contract. I tell you, they've got a good union, okay? And he'll get paid for it. Nobody paid me for the vacations I didn't use. They're just gone, you know? They just went away. But time is something that's valuable. But it's also something that we need to invest well in. We need to honor the time that God gives us. Whether it's our individual life or whether it's a life of our church. We need to honor God with our time. Not a time in attendance necessarily, although that is certainly important, but it's also our time in commitment to Him. You exist as a church, as believers in Jesus Christ, to come together to do what? To honor God. And as an individual, you're to live your life in that same way. To honor God. Now, I'm one of those people, and probably a lot of you are in this crowd today. And if you're not, then you probably listen to this because it's probably cool to listen to older music. But Pete Seeger adapted a version of the text from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He adapted it into a song. It's entitled Turn, Turn, Turn. It was recorded by the Byrds in 1965. Now, it's very interesting that Seeger wrote this song and that the song used these particular words and the ideas that are here and that are found in it. But it was written during a time, historically, and many of us remember, it was written during the Vietnam War. And the song itself actually became an advocate for a time of peace. There was a real calling for peace at that time. And actually, Seeger added to the lyrics when he said, it's a time for peace. And he said, I swear, it's not too late. See, sometimes when we're dealing with time, we think that there's no future at all. You've gone through a change in your church. You'll continue to go through a change. It's not going to be that painful. Oh, it is painful. I mean, you don't like it. Nobody does. No, nobody likes having to go through what they're going through right now. You don't like having to know about it. But here's the real reality. Time will pass. And other opportunities will come along. But God never changes. The Word says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was talking to Ed before, you know, and we think about how God works. And, you know, God is seldom early, but what? He's never late. He's always at work in everything in our lives. See, in the hustle and the bustle of life, time becomes more valuable. Even in churches, that can be the case. You're going to find in the post-COVID world that your church will be different than it was before COVID. In some cases, it may be markedly. In other cases, it may be very subtly. But all churches change because we have to adapt to what the new norm is. Now, somebody asked me the other day, I said, Pastor, what is the new norm? I don't know, but I wish you'd tell us. Nobody knows what the new norm is. There is no real new norm at this point. We really don't know. We need to have a better understanding concerning time. We need to understand it from the timelessness of God's perspective. Elaine and I read through the Bible every year. You probably do the same thing. We started this in our church several years ago. We call it Journey Through the Bible. Read four chapters a day, every day for a year, and you'll read through the Bible. Start where you want. You'll end up, you know, just before that, the book before it when you're through. And as you're reading God's Word, and as you're going through God's Word, you start to understand the timelessness of God's perspective. It was reminded to me the other day, we just finished reading Revelation. Now we're back in Genesis. God always has been the same yesterday, today, forever. God always is, and God always will be. Can you understand that? I can't comprehend it. I know that scholars throughout history have tried to understand this idea of eternity, and we can't understand it, but we have faith in God, in His timeless perspective, that one day either we'll pass away, and because of Jesus Christ, we'll go to heaven, amen, or Jesus Christ will come back and receive the church. And as Paul says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be called up to meet them in the air. And we comfort one another with those thoughts. For everything the writer says, there is a season. A time for every matter under heaven. What this verse does is that it suggests that creation is orderly. And by implication, that God has arranged it that way. I'm loving right now being in Genesis. We're reading about the creation. God putting this whole thing in order, making all of this work. You know, every now and then, I'm doing something and you're doing something. We're going, is this really going to work? I mean, I know it's what I'm supposed. Is this really? There's not even a doubt in my mind that God never looked over at Jesus and said, you think this is going to work? I mean, are we sure about this? Well, of course not. Because we can read from God's word and we can see what his timeless word gives us in perspective, and we can understand who he is, and we recognize that he is the creator. He put it all into motion. But once we step out of this world, again, either through physical death or through Christ coming again, either way, we step into forever. Let me say you something, though. I want you to keep this perspective. I think it's a great thought. Your eternity began the moment you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. When you accepted Christ, your eternity, you may struggle, you may suffer, you may face physical death, but your eternity was sealed the day that you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So we're living in our eternity. Maybe not the location and the address that we're going to have in the future, but we're there. See, our challenge is to always find how to cooperate appropriately with the ways of God's created order. One writer who comments on the book of Ecclesiastes, considering the particular line and a particular idea of time and life, indicated this: in the face of such uncertainty, the author's counsel, meaning the speaking of the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, is to enjoy the good things that God provides while one has time to enjoy them. Did you hear that? Enjoy it while you've got time. See, from what Ecclesiastes is teaching us, we can conclude that there is an appropriate time for everything. And then the book counsels us to be alert, to cooperate with the times for our advantage. There's a term that we've all heard. It's called carpe diem. It dates all the way back to the Roman poet Horace. It literally means pluck the day, though usually it's translated seize the day. I think if you'll go back and look at some of the things the Bucks have used in recent days to talk about where they're at, that's their idea, seizing the day. Carpe diem. Now, for some of you movie buffs out there, you remember there was a movie called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Well, Ferris, quite a young man. And one of the things that that young man determined in that movie was this. He says, life moves pretty fast. Amen? It does. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. How much of life have I missed? I can only imagine. How much life do I want to miss? None. Does life move fast? Yeah. Now, I will say that in our point in life now, I think it's moving a little bit slower, and I really enjoy that. So what are we to do? We're to seize the day. Carpe diem. We're to take the opportunities that life affords us. When Michelle contacted me about the possibility of coming down here, and then I talked to Ed, I mean, it blessed our heart to have the opportunity, seize the day, opportunity to go and encourage God's people and share from God's word. Listen, I'm a preacher. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, it's just doing what God gives us opportunity to do. Paul understood this, and in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, again, always recognize that God's word is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of man as inspired by God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul said this: whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. Whatever it is, it makes no difference. Whatever it is, whatever the opportunity is, do it as unto the Lord. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, especially young Christians that are here today, young folks, whatever you do in your life, if you're giving testimony as being a believer, whatever you do in your life, you should do it as unto the Lord. You should be the best in your job. You should be the best in your relationships. You should be the best in your walk with the Lord. Everything, and do it enthusiastically as unto the Lord. I mean, if your job is cleaning toilets at the local office, then you should have the cleanest, best toilets available. Because you should do it. You say, well, Pastor, that's... No, the Scripture says, do all things enthusiastically as unto the Lord. We should endeavor to do great things. It doesn't make a difference what it is. It could be going to a meeting. It could be in school getting a good grade. It could be working in the local church and the responsibilities and the leadership and the ministries of the church. Whatever we do in our life needs to be focused. And we need to do so in order to give glory to God. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Not great things Albert has done. I mean, I'm just attaching myself to His coattail. I'm just riding where He takes me to go. I'm just doing what He gives me opportunity to do. Give God the glory. Don't forget to make sure that the important people in your life, in my life, in our lives, still know that they are important. Don't you love spending time with family and friends? I do. I mean, you know, it was so great for Lane and I, you know, to be away for a few days, but we had an opportunity to do something we haven't been able to do with her mother and sister in a long time. And that was get together. They live up in the area and we were in, so we met them and we had dinner together and we just had a reminiscence and time, and it was just really great. Family and time, it means something. But let me ask you a question this morning. If you knew, you don't by the way, but if you knew that tomorrow, Monday, February the 8th, 2021, was going to be your last day on earth, what would you do? What would you do? When it's all over with after tomorrow, that's it. It's your last day on earth. What would you do? I want to give you five things this morning. Five things that should be a part of every day. Not just that last day, but every day that we are here on earth. They're right out of God's word. Number one is this: be worry-free. Now, we're not real good at that. And in a world in which we live right now, I mean, it's been tenuous at times, I know that, but it's getting worse and worse and worse from so many different perspectives. But we need to be worry-free. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, God's word says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" What do you get out of it? I'll tell you, if you'll do a study about worrying and being anxious, you're going to find out that it does detriment to your physical health. It certainly doesn't help your spiritual life. And it does great detriment to your physical life. It wears you down. Worrying is one of those things that just, it beats you up. It beats you up. It beats you down. So the Bible, very clear about it. He asked the question, the writer said, "Look, can you even add a moment, anything by worrying?" It's going to happen. Whatever it is going to happen. Amen? You say, "Well, can I change it?" Things are going to happen. There are decisions that you make as you go through the process, but please listen. Life moves on. We have to be careful, but we cannot worry. You know, all the time, I know folks that it seems like no matter what they work, we're not carefree and footloose and fancy free about life, but we've come to the place and just realizing for us, we've got to enjoy what life we have. We got to enjoy what opportunities we have, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Neither do you. Be worry-free. Number two, be kind. Oh, no, you're sitting there. He's gone from preaching to meddling. Doggone it, I was starting to like this guy. No, be kind. Why? Because God's word instructs us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, be kind. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. If you're going to take honey, they tell you that you should take honey that's local grown raw honey within a 25-mile radius of where you live. Every morning, Elaine and I get up, and one of the things we do is 2 tablespoonfuls of raw honey. Matter of fact, honey, we need to go up Dade City in the next week or so. We're out. We're going to be out of here in about a week. And we take 2 tablespoons of mother or vinegar with mother, apple cider vinegar with mother, and we mix it with some water and we drink it. Now, it tastes good. The honey is for allergies and different things like that. But the point is that it's good. It's good for you. Kind words mean something. I mean, I've never been encouraged by a person that yelled at me the whole time. Matter of fact, I wanted to leave and get away from that person. But someone that would just, you know, encourage me and say something kind to me and, you know, tell me that they love me, you know, that means the world to me. It means the world to all of us. See, those words are like honey. They're sweet. But it's also healthy. One of my spiritual gifts, just as a sidebar to that, you have all the spiritual gifts, by the way. If you were to do the test, you'd have all of them. But you've got 2 or 3 that kind of, they're kind of like cream. They kind of rise to the top. One of my top 3 is encouragement. I just like to encourage people. That's what I try to do when I'm preaching, when I'm dealing with folks. I'm trying to encourage people. Just, you know, to feel good and to have a positive attitude and to do enthusiastically as unto the Lord, whatever it might happen to be. You know, there's a downside to the gift of encouragement. It's a caution for someone like me. As a person with the gift of encouragement doesn't like confrontation. I detest confrontation. I will do everything I can not to have a confrontational relationship with somebody. You say, have you been successful with that? Well, of course not. I've had to have some confrontational time. I didn't like it. You say, were you always right? Yeah. I was. I mean, it's okay with me if they wanted to be wrong. I mean, be worry-free, be kind, be cheerful. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is great medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. How many of you will look at someone with this kind of a look on their face and make a beeline for them because you want to hang out with them? No. You kind of wait. But somebody's got a smile on your face, you know, you're kind of, hey, you know, how you doing? It's good to see you today. Be cheerful. See, we really have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? We really do. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening in this world. There's a lot of things that are going on that can cause us some issues. But really, we have so much to be thankful for. We can be cheerful because a cheerful heart is great medicine. How many of y'all are from this area? All right, some of y'all transplant, some of you know. How many of you have been here a long time and you remember WTBT in Tampa? Okay, a few of you. All right, same as far. Some of you are going to catch this and some of you may not. How many of you remember Ernie Lee? What would he say? He would tell you that something was what? It was good for you. He'd sing a song and he'd say, this is going to be good for you. That was his tagline, okay? His tagline, Ernie Lee, was, it'll be good for you. Being cheerful will be good for you. It's good medicine for you. I mean, it'll help you in your life. We've only got so much time. Why should we live it? And why should we be so downcast? Matter of fact, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Trust the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all things, acknowledge in Him. A cheerful heart is great medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. In other words, it leaves nothing left to support the individual. I mean, it literally beats the person down. It leaves no structure. Be worry-free, be kind, be cheerful. Number four, be transformed. Yeah, you need to be a transformer. You really do. Why? Because Scripture says it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul speaking to the church at Rome says this, do not be what? Conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed. By what? The renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to be conformed to this world. But yet the world wants us all to conform to it. This is not a new idea. This is something that's been on since the very beginning of time. The world wants us to adapt. The world wants you as a Christian to adapt to it. And the last thing that we need is more of what's out there. We need more of what's in here. We need more of Jesus in the lives of people. That's why we've got to be sharing the good news with other folks. That's why we've got to be encouraging our neighbors, encouraging those that we go to school with, encouraging those that we work with, so that they know the truth of Jesus Christ. Because if they don't know, they'll miss the opportunity. That's why missions are important. That's why evangelism is important. Somebody asked me at the conference, they said, Pastor, what do we need to be doing in churches? And I kind of laughed when they asked the question. I didn't mean it in a disrespectful way. I just kind of giggled because it had been on my mind. And it's something I've been thinking about, and I've articulated it this very way. It's really no different than it's ever been. If you really think about it, in order to be a New Testament church, the real test of a New Testament church is going and doing what the New Testament church was doing. They were being discipled and they were evangelizing. I mean, come on. Ta-da! That's it. Discipling. People learning. People coming to understand the whole idea of what being a Christian really is, and then reproducing themselves in others, which then, therefore, the discipleship leads to evangelism. There's no more to it. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any... And I said, that's what every church needs to do. Don't care how big they are. Don't care how small they are. It doesn't make any difference. Discipleship, evangelism. Those things are critical. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We need every day to be renewed. Amen? We do. We need that. Because life will throw us curveballs. And sometimes it's going to cause you to have a lemon. What are you going to do with a lemon? Make lemonade. Find something. Find some way. Renew your mind. And it refers to it as a testing. Paul refers to it as a testing, which means that it's something that is out of the ordinary, that it may be discerned. And one of the things that's very difficult for many people is to be discerning. But you need to be discerning. You need to understand what God is doing and why God is doing what He's doing. And then follow Him. So we need to be worry-free. We need to be kind. We need to be cheerful. We need to be transformed. And we need to be prepared. I mean, it sounds like, you know, Boy Scouts, right? Be prepared. Be prepared. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. You can make many plans. You can. You can do it, and you probably are. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. What do you think the Lord's purpose is for Grace Fellowship? To know Him and to know Him more? Certainly. See, you're at a place where time is not like it was before. Now you've got to make some changes. And you will. You're poised for something. What is it? God knows. You may not know yet, and that's fine. It doesn't have to happen overnight, but you have to be poised and ready. You have to be accepting. God, what do you want us to do? Several years ago when I was pastoring, it was the first church that I was a senior pastor, we were dealing with something that was going on, and it was one of those things where as a pastor, you know, it was kind of heartache, and we needed to fix some things, and there, you know, it was going to involve some people, and, you know, come on, when you're dealing with people, you never know what you're going to get and how people are going to respond to something. It was like, I know we need to do this. And I was meeting with a committee one night, and we were sitting there in the room, and we all agreed that that's what needed to happen, that this needed to be said, that this needed to be communicated. And of course, you know, I'm a leader, I'm the pastor, so my first response was, you know, okay, I'll address that. And it was in unison. No. 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 Well, see, here's what I had been praying. I've been praying this. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm going into a committee meeting and they're wanting me to tell them, what do we do? I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. This is what I've been praying. Or I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to do anything. And I have not done anything. I have been absolutely null and void of doing anything. Lord, I don't know what to do. But I'm not going to do anything until you show me what to do. And whatever you show me to do, I'll do. The Lord answered that prayer. It didn't require that I do anything. The I part of it, I'll do, was going to be handled by the committee. They were going to take care of it because that was what God wanted to do. I've always thought about how I prayed there, and I've shared that prayer concept with so many different people and so many different pastors over the years. Oh, and they'll say, I don't know what to do. Well, don't do anything. You're not compelled to do something. I mean, breathe, I understand that. That's you know, kind of critical. You know, okay, the eat and drink. Now, some of you are just taking it to, you know, you're just getting sinful about it. But that's all right. But wait. When God wants you, but God may not want you to do. He may want to work through you. He may want to work through someone else. He may want to work around you. Do you know that God is already where you're needing to be as a church? I mean, He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to get there. You'll get there in His time. Not a moment before. Listen, God is seldom early, but He's never late. God is always at work. This may be. If you go back and look at what the writer said, for everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is the story of Esther. For you, for your elders, for your church brothers and sisters in Christ, this may be your Esther moment. Esther existed and was in a situation that saw God use her to save God's people. What did Mordecai tell her? She said, Mordecai, I can't do that. He said, Esther, maybe God has you there for such a time as this. For such a time as this. I love that story. I love that truth. That it could be the elder for such a time as this. I've had those extra moments in my life and in my ministry. And so have you. You've been there. You've had it. And there are great moments in Grace Fellowship, this is your moment. This is your Esther moment. For such a time as this, what does God have? Whatever it is, whatever God's got for you, it will bring honor and glory to God. not you, to God. But what did Paul tell them in Colossians? Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, as done for the Lord and not for men. Listen, whatever you're going to do, do it as unto the Lord. However God leads you, whatever God calls you to do, do. And in the meantime, enjoy it. Remember, life moves way too fast. If you don't slow down, you just might miss it. Amen? Amen. Brother Earl?
Thank you, Pastor Ashworthy. We appreciate that. Appreciate the encouragement. We are at a time right now where we have to lean not on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And we need to be encouraged through that time. Well, let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we so thank you for this message of encouragement today. We all need that. We all need for us to come alongside one another, as the Holy Spirit does, and in our lives, and be that encourager, the one that lifts us up, the helper. May we live that out in our lives as we encourage each other through this time. We already know you know the beginning from the end. You are an absolute sovereign God, and may we not lean on our understanding, but trust in you in all that we do. And it is in Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen.
Once again, I would ask if you are able to please stand and join us as we sing our closing hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore. Let